Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The speaker's worst nightmare is when your ear microphone doesn't sit where it's supposed to. No one got that. The speaker's nightmare is just before you get up on the platform, your ear mic just wants to fall off. Look at it. It's just sticking way out today. I don't know what happened. It's like, stay. Who's alive today? Come on. Like, I'm trying to crack a joke and everyone's staring at me like, just be quiet, I want to go eat. Hang on, I get this, I don't know what happened. It's like, anyways, I need another one. This one's worn out, I got tape around it and everything else, but God is good. Oh, I had a couple thoughts during worship. First of all, I just want to just welcome a few people that are here, and I don't see Pastor David. Oh, there you are, stand up. Pastor David Carrillo from Bellingham, Washington, and we just want to honor him. He's actually becoming part of the family. We're talking about things and just connecting more and more, looking at doing a church plant down in Bellingham. So let's just put our hands out to him and a team that's being formed right now just south of our border. Father, bless him. Fill him, give him wisdom. We ask, Lord God, as we pour in as family together, co-laboring in the kingdom, Father, borders are not existent in the kingdom of heaven. Borders are only existent by the laws of man, but not in the kingdom of heaven. There is no border in the kingdom of heaven. We are brothers and sisters co-laboring together in the kingdom. So bless David. And empower him as a team forms, raises up, and just literally cranks up in the Spirit of God and blasts Bellingham, Linden, Summa, the area wide open, and increase in the presence. And bless all the churches south of the border, Father. Just bless them abundantly throughout Washington State. Bless them in Jesus' name. All the people said, amen, amen. We also have family here from one of our Windward churches in Yelm, Washington. So some of the leadership is here and some of the churches stand. Everybody from Oak Ridge Ministries in Yelm, Washington. Let's put our hands out to them too because they battled traffic. Anyone know what the Seattle traffic's like nowadays? I heard they battled it yesterday, but we're so happy they're here today. So just put your hands out. Let's just bless them. Father, thank you for family. Again, no borders in the kingdom. Bless them as they have walked through many things over this last year, Father. But Lord, you are the victor. You have the strength. You have the power and you have the authority, Lord God, as this leadership team and congregation makes choices and decisions, Lord, that we stand with them. We are in relationship as family together, Lord God. We speak into their lives and they speak into ours, Father. And we thank you and bless them abundantly in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen. Bless you all. Bless you guys. That's most of the board of directors is sitting there right now. So it's exciting. Amen. You know, the neat thing about what God's doing is he's not just doing it in you. The biggest thing we need to understand, I'll get this thing here sooner or later. The biggest thing we need to understand is that God is not, he's not doing something just in your life. And I say that because it's important. So often we can get so Christianized, spiritized, all these things that we actually think we are the one that has all the answers. And if no one agrees with us, then they're all wrong and we're not. Well, I want you to know that doesn't work. It only works in my life. I'm just kidding. I'm joking. We have to understand and realize that we are learning and we are growing. And any one of us that thinks we know it all, it actually shows me and shows others how little we actually know. I'm not saying you can't be a theologian, you can't study, you can't learn more and more and grow more and more. I'm not saying that. That's actually the will of God in your life. But the will of God is never to give one person all understanding. That's God. And we can't live that lifestyle. Because if we do, then we'll contend and try to force everybody into our own theology and our own understanding. And I guarantee you, it will create walls and it will create borders. We're alive. Look to the neighbor to your left and say, hey, you're alive today, right? Look to the neighbor to the right and say, you need to wake up. You're not as good looking as my neighbor on the left. We sang about my fears are drowned in perfect love. My fears are drowned in perfect love. I'll tell you, it's just a biblical principle to the core. Because fear is the one thing that actually dispels love. But true love dispels all fears. And when we can live in true love, it actually dispels the fears of, are we loved? So many of us want to, how many want to be loved? You can put your hand up, just put your hand up. And some of you didn't put your hand up, so you're not loved. I'm just kidding. No, we love you here. But fear of wanting to be loved tries to establish us in an area that in our own lives, we try to be someone that we're not or become something that we're not called into. So when we try to be loved, the natural instinct in the human body is they want to be loved. And the natural instinct in the human body, in understanding, is actually wants to do good. As Kevin mentioned, wants to be a giver. Because there's biblical principles to do it. Of course, the enemy doesn't like that, and he wants to do everything he can to fight against that. But the reality is every one of us wants to be loved and we want to be accepted. And so because we want to be loved and we want to be accepted, many times our own personal boundaries will be put down for the sake of acceptance. But you see, perfect love, the perfect love of God, actually overpowers and overcomes the need to be accepted by man because you're already accepted by God. And when we're living a lifestyle that's already in the understanding of the acceptance and the unconditional love that God has for us, when we live in that lifestyle, understanding, something starts to change and shift in our mindset. And pretty soon, you actually, instead of forcing to be loved and walking and trying to be loved, you actually are becoming loved by people around you because they see a true love that is in you between you and God. It's an easy way to get into relationship with people. Accept the people that hate love. They're not going to like you. But who cares? At that point in time, I don't care. If you don't want to be loved and you want to go live in your own little dark corner and moan and groan and sob, that's your prerogative, but that is not my choice. My choice is to live in victory and freedom. Kevin shared about people that give and want to give, and it's truly a phenomenal reality that when you live in the attitude of a grateful and giving heart, you actually open up the doors to an incredible ability of fruit and success in your life. Because it's greater to give than it is to receive. It's a blessing to give. Another thought. You can live a lifestyle of discipline, or you can live a lifestyle of love, and the sin runs right out of your life. You know how many people try to discipline? Of course, we know what Paul said. But when you live in a mindset that I have to discipline myself, I have to have my boundaries, so I can't do this, I can't do that. I understand if you're in AAA, drug rehabilitation, there's an area in your life that you need help with, and you're weak in that area, absolutely. But I'm talking about not being weak in the area, I'm talking about having the victory over the area. And so when we can actually live in a lifestyle of His pure love in our life, we actually don't have to force ourselves into the lifestyle of discipline. But you know what? So many people teach, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know what? When you're in the trueness of the lifestyle of Jesus Christ in you, Holy Spirit empowering you, God in you, you don't want to do it. It's a whole different mindset from building a box saying, you can't do this. You know what? The Bible says a lot of things you can't. But the reality is when new covenant was entered in through Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, a new relationship and a new intimacy was created for you and I to walk in. And all of a sudden, it's, ooh, that smelled good. I got a whiff of some burgers, I think. Whew. I remember one time we were doing a barbecue thing, and we set the smoke alarms, and the fire truck showed up, you know, and it's like, oh, no, we're all in here worshiping. You should be out of the building. No, it's just our barbecues. We need to understand a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. You think it's my, people say, well, you're my pastor, you have to tell me what to do and what not to do. Actually, no, I'm telling you what God says to live in your life and lifestyle. You're the one making choices. If I have to make your choices, then I have to control you like a little child. And I'm sick and tired of that kind of stuff.
You know what? You have to call me when you fall into sin.
What are you talking about? I'm wondering if, understand if we're in an accountability situation personally. Absolutely. But the reality is you'll know when you fall into sin. And the only way you're going to overcome that addiction or that problem or issue is by the love and the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we live in that understanding, I don't have to sit here from the pulpit and teach you everything. You are a sinner. Or can you imagine if I used your testimony from the pulpit and pointed my finger at you? None of us like that. You see, you're not one or two-year-olds. And some people say, well, I'm a new Christian. Yeah, but you're not a one or a two-year-old or a three-year-old. We're adults. And adults should have the understanding and the wisdom that Jesus Christ defeated the enemy. That enemy doesn't have power and authority. It's done. It's finished. The only authority and power that he can have is if you open the door and give him that power and authority in your life. And you know what? I just refuse to. I refuse. I'm like, you know what? I am not opening the door to the enemy. I am, matter of fact, I'm not even letting the door be there. He's done, he's finished, and he's out. And you say, Brent, what do you mean? You live a perfect lifestyle? No, I don't. Like, I actually get tired, I actually get frustrated. So, I mean, I actually get frustrated. Driving. Through Seattle. Vancouver. It's like, whoa, and I just have to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. God, you are so good. I want to talk about a lifestyle of a worshiper. We talk about a worshiper. So many people think, well, we just did worship. Actually, no, we did praise. And so I want to go through a message here of notes. It's probably going to be a few Sundays long. But I believe if we don't grab this understanding, we won't have the fullness of the understanding of the victory. We have to have the lifestyle of a worshiper. It can't just be coming on a Sunday morning and singing. That is not what I'm talking about. Lifestyle of worshiper. Psalms chapter 22, verse 3. Let's turn there. Psalms chapter 22, starting in verse 3. But you, that's God, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Here we're speaking to David, speaking to God. You are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. That word enthroned is yasab. And it means to sit down. It means in ambush. It means to dwell. It means to remain. So in God is enthroned. He is sitting down. He is in ambush to dwell and remain in this place. In the praises of Israel, the word Israel is Israel. What does it mean? It has two main roots. If you go into your Strong's concordances, one root is from 8220 and one is from 410. 8220 means to contend, to have power, to persist, to exert oneself, to persevere. The other root word is, in 410, it means God-like one, a mighty one, mighty men. Men of rank and mighty heroes. So I want to give you my Brent Borthwick translation of this verse using the original text. Psalms 22, verse 3 in the BB translation. But you are holy. You sit and dwell and remain as we ambush you in the praises of people that contend for you. These people have power who persist and exert themselves to persevere. They are mighty men and women of rank and mighty heroes. That's it. God, you are holy. You sit and you dwell and you remain as we ambush you. What's an ambush? You ever played with your kids and I should probably go to a handheld real soon. This thing, maybe I should put it in my other ear. It'd be, oh. What does it mean? When you ambush somebody, what's that expression like?
People say, well, I'm offended at that word ambushing God.
Actually, he's not. He's not offended. It's kind of like your son is hiding from you a little bit. And the game is kind of like hide and seek, but it's not really hide and seek because he's going to be found. And he knows it. And let's say your son or your daughter, and they're kind of sitting down in another room, but they're in the middle of the room. They're just sitting down, and they're waiting for their daddy. They're waiting for their mummy to find them. They think they're hiding really good. They're just in another room. And it takes the mother and the father to get out of the room that they're in and go to where the one waiting to be ambushed, waiting to be caught, waiting to be found is sitting. And what happens? You go down the hall, you open another door. Hey, are you in here? I'm looking. And the little kid in the other room says, not that room. He's supposed to be hiding. But he wants to be found. He's not hiding from you. He's hiding for you to be found. Because there's more fun, there's more joy. And when someone pursues you unconditionally looking for you, when the person who's waiting to be found knows you're going to find them. And so you're walking down the hall and you're kind of tapping on the wall. Are you in the wall? No. Are you in the bathroom here? I'm looking. No. You hear this little voice. You know exactly which door it is. And you go down to every room, tapping down the hallway. And then you start to open the right doorknob slowly, and you hear giggling. And you open your... And you open it slowly. I'm in here, Daddy. You open it slowly, and then you open up, and you go, oh, there you are! And they jump up, they grab you, they hold on to you, they're giggling, they're laughing, you're celebrating together. This is what this verse is saying. Get out of the wrong room and get in the right room. It's not the room of discipline. It's the room of acceptance. It's not the room of you have to live in your bad moment, your two-year-old, and you're going through what they call the terrible twos, and you got to be bad in that room. No, it's not that kind of a room. This is the room that is enthroning the king. This is the room where his presence is so thick, and the joy is so big, and the love is so unconditional that when he sees you, and he sees you ambushing him in praises, it means you're not just running to him in your sorrow and your time of issues and problems. You're running to him in the praises. There's seven attributes of a lifestyle of worship and praise. I won't get to them all today, but I'll read first. And one is victory. You live in the atmosphere and the lifestyle of a worshiper, you will have victory. Not a question. It's not an option. It's a reality. The second one is breakthrough. You will have breakthrough in your life. I guarantee it. The third one is freedom. You will live in freedom. No matter what nation or country or laws of the land are happening around you, you will live in freedom. You will live in deliverance. You will live in revelation. You will live with a good kind of judgment. I'm not talking about a bad judgment. I'm going to talk later, probably another week from now, about the judgment I'm talking about. And you will live in healing. The seven attributes of a lifestyle of a worshiper: victory, breakthrough, freedom, deliverance, revelation, judgment, and healing. First one, a lifestyle of worship. It leads to victory. When we praise and worship the Lord, we experience victory in every and all battles that happen in our life. When we praise the Lord, no matter what battle you're in, victory is in the praises. Victory is in the joy of the morning. The very next day, you can wake up and you can step into victory. But before that day comes, why don't you just choose victory now? Because I'll tell you, you and I have the option already. You and I have the victory through Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I want to pray. I want to talk with you after this service, or we have a team here. But you need to know Jesus. You need to accept Jesus as your living Lord and Savior into your life. And you will start to experience a victory that you never found in money, drugs, alcohol, women, boys, whatever it is. You could never find this kind of victory anywhere else but in Jesus Christ. Since God inhabits the praises of his people, then we have victory all the time. Because is God at war? No. Is God at war? Is he in a war? Well, you know what? We've had so much bad teaching that a lot of people say, yeah, he's still battling the devil and Satan. He's not. That's not true. God never battled the devil. A group of his angels did. When Lucifer tried to rise up and become greater than God, all these archangels and the whole armies of heaven fought and battled, and Lucifer lost, and 33% of the demons fell with him to this earth. What about when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? You know, God battled the devil. No, he actually didn't. He had the victory. He shut the garden up, his presence. And then you had to go into Old Covenant. But what about when Jesus came to this earth? Exactly. What about that? Well, he was battling the devil. Actually, he was battling the temptation of the devil, but he never battled the devil.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, never once in my Bible does it say they actually went to war together. The only thing that started to happen in the life of Jesus on his 33-year life journey on this earth was the temptation of the devil that went after him 40 days in the desert of fasting, and the devil went after him to give him the kingdoms that had been given to the devil through Adam and Eve, and the devil was trying to give it back to Jesus, but Jesus is there to actually take them away from him. And so the only battle was temptation. So if we can live with this understanding, the only battle you have is temptation. But you know what? Love casts out all fear. Perfect love. And so when we live in perfect love, then the temptation doesn't have a place to sit. When we live in the perfect love of Christ and God in us and Holy Spirit and power in us, the temptation can come, but the arrows can't hit. Because the arrows of temptation can't fly through the true agape love that I'm talking about. It's like this arrow comes flying, and somewhere out here it just goes bing and falls to the ground. When we live in victory, then we're really never in a war. The only time we live in a war on this earth is when we lose the victory of our mind. Well, what do you mean? The devil's attacking me all the time. Really? Is that your lifestyle? Are you speaking that? Is that your existence on this earth, that your whole battle is to defeat the devil in your life? It's actually not your purpose. Your purpose is to live in the victory of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and literally go into all the world and preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. But if we're too much in our own battle, and it's all about me and my battle, then how on earth are we setting anyone else free from their battles? Well, what do you mean? The devil's constantly attacking me. Well, stop what he's attacking. Well, you know, I fall into sin. I fall into pornography. I fall into drugs. I fall into this. You know what? I've talked to so many drug addicts. I've talked to so many people that have struggled with pornography. I will guarantee you there are always keys that lead up to the fall. Always. You're either tired, you're exhausted. Usually you have lack of identity. You feel abandoned, you feel lonely, you feel frustrated, whatever it is, there's always the same patterns that will lead up to the falls. I've listened to so many people that struggle with a certain sin, but I know the answer. The answer is, why are you struggling? Well, because it's constantly attacking me. I'm only human. You're not only human. That's a lie from the devil. You're not only human. You are spirit. You are soul. And I believe the Holy Spirit is in you. And if he's in you, he not being tempted. The whole battle, well, we rage against, you know, flesh and blood. No. I'm not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Yeah, I've gone through that scripture. I'll go through it again. The actual first part of the whole set of verses in Ephesians is the battle between, in your mind, between your ears. That's the battle. And after that, you have the victory. Hey, because the reality is let's say temptation is right there. What happens? Does temptation jump out of your computer screen and grab you and wrap you around the neck and pull you into the computer screen to look at bad things? Is that the temptation you're talking about? Because it's never happened to me. That computer's always sat there. It doesn't have the power and authority to get off the desk and grab me and link me in to make my eyes. It doesn't come and it doesn't say, oh, here's your eyes. Oh, look over here. It doesn't do that. It tempts and you decide. Just like Jesus. The devil tempted and he decided. See, victory is a decision. It's a choice. That's why, Kevin talked about the areas of blessing and giving. You realize that Canada, United States, North America, we have some of the greatest wealth of any nations in the world. And yet we have the highest depression, suicide, and drug rate, or addiction rate. The greatest wealth and the highest addiction rates and death rates, suicide rates, depression. You know how many people are on depression pills? Let me tell you the best pill. He rose from the grave. I tell you, it's better than any medical doctor's pill. Why would we be depressed when the joy of the Lord is our strength? You don't think I have the option to be depressed? I could be depressed right now. All I have to do is focus on what people say behind my back about me. They don't even know me. All I have to do is focus at what people left our church, like good people that I love and I love to this day, and all of a sudden they're gone and they're saying bad things. Like, what? You know, all I have to do is focus on all the negative, all the problems. All I have to do is focus on the dumb decisions our governments are making. I just have to focus on something negative, and I guarantee you I'm gonna want something to get me out of the negativity because I'm feeling depressed. Maybe I better start drinking. Maybe I better start getting a drug. Maybe. I've watched more depression and people save money on depression pills when they find Jesus Christ, and it goes. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles 20, starting in verse 1. It's actually 1 to 30, so I'll see if I read it all. It's about Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir being defeated by Jehoshaphat. I'm just telling you a bit of the story. Jehoshaphat was facing this great battle that seemed impossible for him and his army to win. Here Jehoshaphat with his whole army is battling against three armies that are so big, they outnumber them ridiculously. And Jehoshaphat called for a fast, and he sought the Lord with all his people. You know what? When you're fighting a battle that looks way bigger than you can go after and have the victory in, then you better wait on the Lord. If it's get into a fast, great, but wait on the Lord. Be in prayer. But Jehoshaphat got an answer from God. Then Jehoshaphat sent singers and worshipers ahead of his army. What kind of a goofy thing is that? Well, you know what? It's called Kingdom of God. As they praised and worshiped the Lord caused the enemies to fight each other and destroy themselves. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 19. And then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up and to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud high. Here they go, the worshipers. The worshipers. Here's this massive army that we know is going to destroy God's people. It's so big. And they're praying, oh yeah, Jesus, oh God, thank you. Thank you for the victory you've already given us. And it just starts confusing the devil. It starts confusing the enemy. because he doesn't know how to praise. So they rose early in the morning. Oh, what a great time to start your day in praise. Get out of bed and praise. And they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." Believe, like don't just listen, but actually change your lifestyle into an understanding that God has spoken. And he's speaking through us and the prophets. He's speaking through the leaders. He's speaking to us. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. That they should, these people, he's looking for the ones who should sing to the Lord. Who is he looking for? The depressed, grumpy people?
Oh, boy, you're really depressed. Let's set you out of the front lines.
You know, it wouldn't be a bad strategy if you didn't want to go to war. Send out all the depressed people. Get rid of them. No. He's actually going to look for the people of praise to bring the people out of depression. Because he loves the people. He just doesn't want the depression to be a lifestyle. He doesn't want the frustrations. He doesn't want the issues, the problems. He wants the victory and praise. Of course we love people. If you're going through depression, find the joy of the Lord. And maybe if you're on medication, I guarantee you can cut it back over a season. I have no doubt in my mind. I actually believe in the miraculous healing power of Jesus Christ. And I believe that you're going to step right out of depression. No more pills, no more junk. Just think of the money you're going to save. It's going to be amazing. It's going to help you give even more. Okay, so verse 21 again. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, listen, two different things. You can sing in the morning and you can praise in the morning. You notice it's not called worship. It's called singing and praising. Praising is what we do here on a Sunday morning. Worship doesn't mean, oh, we're singing a slow song now. Oh, we've entered into worship. No, you should have brought worship into this building. And we're singing our praises, slow or fast, it doesn't matter. It's praise to God. Now, when they began, verse 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon. Isn't it interesting? The same ambushes, the ambush that he has in his own being, God himself, for you to ambush him. But he's setting the ambushes against the enemy. Against the enemy. You and I get to enter in and ambush him, and he ambushes us. But when you praise and live a lifestyle of worship, he sets the ambushes against your problems, against your enemy. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Simple, just like that, just like that. It's not like five more chapters of, and it was a battle, and it was a struggle, and they fought, and they fought valiantly, and they lost 15% of their first clinging people, and you know what, and it went on, and it went on, and it went on, and I had to deal with it over my life, and I had problems, and I had issues, and the same temptation just kept coming at me, and I don't know what to do, Brad. Please help me. I said, I can't help you. I only know the one that can help you. It didn't go on and on. The implication is it happened at least in one day, but probably in hours. Look at verse 23. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir. Now the three armies that came together to fight and defeat God's people. Two of those armies are now battling one of the armies that came. Why? Because praise sends the enemy into lunacy. Lunacy, that's what I was trying to say. A lifestyle of worship, and you start singing praises, and you live in that lifestyle, it makes the devil nuts. It makes the demonic realm insane, which they already are. It just makes them insaner. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. These guys weren't like taking their swords away. The ambush of God against them, the enemy, was not to just take their swords away. It was to utterly destroy them. It's not just to keep walking through the same temptation and failing over and over again. The ambushes of God, the joy, the heart of worship, the joy in your heart is to utterly destroy the attack. Second part of verse 23. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. What a good strategy that God has. Actually, it works really, really well. In the next few verses, the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert where they were going to fight. So now, here's the army of Judah coming. Not quite sure where all the praise people went, but I have a feeling they were still praising. You got to remember, they didn't have helicopters and drones and watching everything. I mean, we're talking of hundreds of thousands of men. We're talking of square miles of people at war. Like one, you couldn't sit on your horse and say, oh, wow, there went 150,000 men over there. That's like saying 130,000 of all of Abbotsford inhabitants you can see at any one time. You can't. They weren't in a big, huge stadium. They were out there on the fields and the hills and the rocks and the trees and fighting and battling. But you know what? The praisers, the worshipers, all they did was sung praise. They just sung praise, and the enemy was going nuts, and they knew where they were all hiding because they were all part of the same army that came together. And so the hiding didn't help because the enemy is so dumb and so stupid at this point in time. They're going insane. They're losing their mind, and so they're thinking, oh, well, maybe I better kill that one. I know where he's hiding. I better get him before he gets me. And the praisers are probably out there. I don't know how they praised back then, but, you know, I don't know if they had ferns or things, flags in their hands and singing away and shofars are blowing. And they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, wow, everyone's falling beside me. Wow, wow, wow. We're going to just keep going. I don't think they went, whoa, what a presence of God. Let's lay down and soak. I'm not against laying down and soaking. I'm just saying don't do it in the middle of the war. Hey, whoa, it's working. Thank you, God. Praise God. And they probably had to sing and dance for miles. For miles. And so now the army of Judah is still back here. And they're like, huh, I wonder what's going on down there. What's happening? I heard a lot of commotion. I'm kind of hearing distant singing over there. Maybe our singers are gone. And it's the army against us is singing now. I don't know what's going on. And so they said, you know what? Our singers haven't come back. Maybe we better go check out where our praisers are. And so what happens? This is what happens. And they looked out towards the vast army that had come to fight them, and they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. He's big, but dead, big one, dead, 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 dead. Are those our praisers over there? Dead, 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 dead. Oh, they're still praising. One, two, three, four. They're all alive. There's like a few hundred thousand dead men. And the praisers are freaking out. They're like, oh, it's working. I'm going to keep seeing. You think you would shut those guys up? You think you're going to say, hey, settle down. Come to church and be really mellow.
Live a lifestyle of mellow. Are you kidding me? Those dead men, they didn't think it was mellow. They died for a cause they believed in. But the worshipers lived for the cause they believed in. All these dead men, no, not one enemy survived or even escaped. Not one out of hundreds of thousands. We don't know the size of the army, but we know it was big. The enemy all killed themselves. On the enemy's garments was great wealth. It took Jehoshaphat and his people 3 days to gather all the gold, the diamonds, the jewels, the precious jewelry off all these dead men. They were starting to stink, but they went after the riches. Why? Because when we live a lifestyle of worship and we enter into the praises of the King, I will guarantee you, you will literally take the wealth of every bad thing out there. Instead of fighting for money, it's going to be lying on dead people right before you. But the new covenant doesn't want the people dead. It just wants their sin dead. And then the people in the new covenant, because sin is dead to them, that means they have life and life forevermore. And that life is more precious than gold, jewelry, diamonds, any car, any motorcycles, anything. That life is the riches of the kingdom. We heard about evangelism today. That life that was saved is the riches of the kingdom.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to fix my own problems.
Why? The whole problem is you're trying to fix them. Do you think God can? Well, of course God can fix them. Then why don't you trust Him? Because our faith isn't big enough? Because there's just too much problems and pain? Chances are, it's an internal selfish attitude with a lack of identity internally that opens the doors for all the problems to bring you down. Oh, there's problems in life, I guarantee it. One of them, I take so long making my hair every morning. It's a problem. I'm this close. What are you going to do if you come in on a Sunday and it's all gone? Some of you are going to go, yeah. Yeah, see? And some of you are going to go, no. Even my own family's got mixed emotions about it. One kid's keep it. Other kid's, oh, get rid of it. But you know, What do we make the problems? You don't have enough money? You can't make your payments? Well, why is that? Is that God's will? Maybe you just overindulged, bought a few things that you couldn't afford. Maybe it's not God's fault and it's not the devil's fault. Maybe it's just yours.
Well, it's either God or the devil.
Really? No. Whatever the problem is, maybe you've been abused. Maybe someone did something against you. And you've held that for all these years. You've held that. And it's created this vacuum of pain that just keeps sucking pain towards you. Maybe it's a relationship that didn't work out. A divorce happened. Maybe it's you've had a baby out of wedlock. Maybe whatever it is, I will guarantee you that this day God has an answer and He has a plan. Guaranteed. Not a question on my mind. Well, tell me the answer. I'm teaching it to you this morning. Live a lifestyle of worship and praise Him. Because you will ambush His presence. You will ambush His glory around you. And all the family issues, the struggles, the problems, the government issues, believe me, there's enough of them. Maybe we could write up on the screen one Sunday every problem. And we would sit here for like a week, nonstop, 24/7, with every problem scrolling down, down. Or we could put up on the screen, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the answer to all problems. Some of you are struggling. Some of you have felt that pain. Some of you have felt rejection. I can see it as clear as day. Some of you have been fighting and battling. Some of you have even been fighting God with coming and being on fire again. You're actually scared because you've been hurt so bad. And some of you have been fighting addiction. Some of you might have been fighting the continual sin that just keeps reoccurring in your life. Whatever it is, I guarantee you the answer has already happened. And it's looking for the people to ambush the answer. It's looking for the people to say, I'm ready again. Maybe I haven't lived my life for God like I know that I should have. I want to make that change today. Maybe you've never known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you just want to make that commitment today. I tell you what, this is the day of celebration. It's the day of joy. I guarantee you, the heavens will rejoice, and so will we as family. Maybe you just have been kind of a Christian floating along. Well, you know what? That's not your destiny. Your destiny is to climb higher and higher and higher and higher and higher and higher in His presence. It's to live in the answer. You're not the answer. I'm not the answer. He's the answer. Let's all stand. Maybe you're here this day and you just are like, you know what? I don't really know what a true lifestyle of a worshiper looks like. You know what? I'm still learning it too. I'm going to learn it the rest of my life, but I guarantee you one thing for sure. It works. It works. It took 3 days for Jehoshaphat and his army to capture, to carry the wealth out of the battlefield. And those men didn't even lift a sword. The worshipers, the praisers, praising God, won the war. People say, you know, how come some people seem to have success and some people just seem to get all the good deals and favor on them, but me, I don't get nothing. I have to contend and fight for everything I have. It's because you're fighting and contending for everything you have. That's not our destiny. If you're going to fight and contend, I tell you who you fight and contend for. You ambush God in your praises. You live a lifestyle of a worshiper in your heart like King David did before he was king. But if I could just be a preacher, I know God will bless. Oh my goodness. I could just go into all the world and preach the gospel, I'll get the blessing. Oh my goodness me. Please, let's not carry baggage to the nations. Worship confuses the enemy, especially when the odds are against us. But that is when God's will can be done in miraculous ways. When the odds look against us, that is the time to praise God. It drives the enemy nuts. I mean, that's got to bring joy. I laugh. I can see in the spirit when that enemy's got all his swords out and he's coming after me. And I'm like, praise you, God. Hallelujah. I got the victory through Jesus. Holy Spirit, empower me. And the enemy turns and starts stabbing each other. Oh. Whatever depressed state, whatever issue, whatever problem you might have, and some of you say, I actually don't have any problems in my life, then you're a praiser. Whatever issue, whatever problem, I guarantee you right now, If you choose the joy of the Lord, it will lose any power and authority that you gave to the problem in your life. Relational problems, family problems. No one has family problems, right? You all love your uncles and aunties and... Worship confuses the enemy. When we praise and worship God, He will cause confusion in the camp of the enemy and make them destroy themselves. Through our life of victories, the Lord will bless us with the wealth from our enemies. Through our lives of victories, not our lives of defeats, our lives of victories. You have to have the victory in your life to have the blessing and favor of God to continually pour out nonstop 24/7. It's not just on a Sunday morning. And the Lord has given you amazing victories. One of the greatest victories He's given every one of us right now is that you're alive in this time and season.
Well, sometimes I feel like I want to be dead.
What on earth?
Sometimes I feel like I just want to give up on life.
Why? God has never given up on us. He'll never forsake us or leave us. He's just looking for the people to praise Him. In every battle, praise Him. With no battle, praise Him. It's a lifestyle of a worshiper. It's a lifestyle of a praise and a singer.
Well, I can't sing. I'm tone deaf.
Sing out loud anyways. Just don't ask for the microphone, please. So maybe you're here today and you came just for the burgers. Well, good. I'm gonna give you an opportunity for greater than any hamburger out there. Maybe you're here today and you really don't know if you're saved or not. Maybe you've been feeling a little bit, well, I sort of gave my life to Jesus a while ago, but I sure haven't been living like a Christian in any part of my life, or maybe not a little bit, or maybe I've been living a Christian life, but it's just been kind of lukewarm. That's not a Christian life. You're either for Him or against Him. That lukewarm is as if you're against Him. And heaven forbid, if you know about God and you still refuse Him, it's twice as bad on you. That's what my Bible says. Better for you not to have known than to reject God. Well, guess what? You happen to know now. And so does everybody watching on TV right now. They just happen to hear that Jesus died on the cross and rose again to give you salvation. Give us all salvation through Jesus Christ. So I want you right now, just bow your heads and close your eyes. Maybe you're here this morning and you have not been living, or maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. I want to give you opportunity right now to put your hand up and say, you know what? I don't even know what it looks like, but I'm going to give my life to Jesus today. If that's you, if I see that hand, is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? I'm giving you opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've been here today and you're kind of like, I've just been lukewarm. I've actually been living in depression and I want to be set free from it. I will guarantee you how you're set free from the depression is to actually look at everything good in life and camp around the good things that are happening. Because chances are it's not as bad as you think. There's probably more good. Number one, if you're here in this building right now, or you're watching, you're part of the Windward family, if you choose to be. That's a good thing. You can live positive lifestyles by choice. So maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've been feeling a little bit burnt out. You've been feeling like, hey, you know, I haven't been living the super duper fired up life, but I would like to. If that's you, just put your hands up real quick. I want to see you. I see those hands. Anybody else? Put those hands up. I see those hands. And you're saying, you know what? I've just been a little bit lukewarm and I just want more. You know what? I see those hands. My hand's up. I haven't been lukewarm. I've been on fire, but to me, on fire 10 years ago is lukewarm. On fire yesterday is becoming lukewarm. There's a new fire today and I'm going after everything new. I'm so hungry. Maybe you're here today and you've been living a good life, an on fire Christian, but you just want more. And you're willing to say, I'm willing before God to say, I want more. If that's you, just put your hands up. Just put your hands up. All these hands are going up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray a prayer. And I'd like everybody to repeat it. We call it a sinner's prayer. It's actually, I'd call it a salvation prayer. It's actually nowhere in Scripture that you have to pray this prayer other than Romans says, confess with your mouth. John 3:16 is very clear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I just want us to pray together. If you're giving your life to Jesus Christ today, maybe the first time, maybe the 10th time. I don't care. You know how many times I gave my life to Jesus? You fall, you get back up. Maybe you're on TV right now. This is a prayer. Let's pray it all together. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising again for my salvation. I give you my life today. Come into my heart. Come into my mind today. Thank you, Jesus. And all the people said, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time or the 10th time, we're going to have people lined up here after the service. Don't worry, the food will still be there downstairs. But maybe you just want more impartation. Maybe you put your hand up for just, I've been lukewarm and I want to give my life more to God. Maybe you just have a prayer request for a medical. You know what? If you're sick or you've got a disease or you've got a cancer or a tumor or anything wrong in your body, just put your hand up. Just put your hand up. Okay, I see these hands. We've seen amazing miracles. Let's just put your hands up and wave around. Okay, if you're sick or you've got a tumor, you've got a cancer, you've got something wrong physically in your body, if you see these hands up, church, just family, just gather around them real quick. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Father, you are the healer, Jesus. Every stripe across your back, we get to declare the miracle of healing in our physical bodies. We pray right now for any cancers. I see might be an issue. Looks like a herniated disc in the back. There's been back pain. We pray right now in Jesus' name for the miraculous healing to come into the body right now. Something with the kidney. Father, we pray right now that any kidney issues, any bladder infections, any urinary tract problems right now in Jesus' name be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. I actually see, I don't know if it's a tumor or a blockage. It looks almost like a right thigh or right leg area. Could just be a pain in a knee or in a hip joint. Father, we pray right now, be healed in Jesus' name. Any person that has a problem in the hip or the leg, in Jesus' name, we ask, Father, whatever miracle needs to happen physically in the bodies that are hearing these words right now, we declare the victory in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord God. Bless them. Fill us with your Spirit. We're hungry, we're thirsty, and we're going for more, 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 more. We're not satisfied with all that we had. We know there's more. Every day it's a new morning, and we're going for the newness of your presence and glory in our lives. Father, we just bless the food downstairs as well, too. We thank you for the hands that have been down there preparing it, that have been barbecuing it, and making me so hungry as I've been smelling these roasting burgers, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless their hands. Bless the food. Bless the family here today, Lord. Let us connect. Let us be real. Let us do life together, Lord Jesus. If you're not part of a life group, I just ask you, get involved in one of our life groups. Ask one of our leaders about life groups. We want to teach you and tell you about life groups. It's how we do family together. If you feel like you don't have family, now you do have family, okay? So just forget the thoughts you don't have family. Now you have family. It's a Windward family, okay? And that's what our hearts are. So we thank you for the miraculous, Lord. Huh? A field to call the worshipers forth, the ones that actually have a passion of worship in their hearts that have been sitting back and not wanting to get involved. And I feel like we're calling the lifestyle of the worshipers forth in Jesus' name. Whew! And all the people said, amen. Amen.